Hey, what's up? This is Chris Webber, and you're listening to the Complex Sports Podcast.
On this week's episode of the Complex Sports Podcast, Chris Webber stops by to talk his foray into the cannabis industry, how difficult it is to broadcast during a pandemic, player rankings, his thoughts on college basketball, and much more. Let's get to it. What up? Brand new episode of the Complex Sports Podcast. It's your man Chopped. As always, I'm here with Zion and Adam. Fellas, how are we doing on this snowy day in Brooklyn? It just won't stop snowing. I need a break from this weather so badly.
Feeling terrific. Absolutely
great. Should we just start off? We have Chris Webber on this episode. It gets testy. We'll get to that. Zion, talk about the Nets.
No, Adam, how are you feeling today, bro?
It's snowing up here in Vermont as well. I can report that.
The Knicks won last night. Adam should be feeling fine.
Yeah. I mean, who really cares in the grand scheme of things?
Playoff team.
They are, but the East sucks. The East is atrocious.
The East is really bad.
For one
really
team.
Bad. We have to listen. The Nets, we'll give you your flowers right now. Your Nets are 12-1 against teams 500 and better. They just swept their West Coast swing.
And just to say that only one loss was without Kyrie and KD.
Yes, and without KD in the lineup the last four games, they've looked pretty goddamn good, and they're the number one team in the NBA right now. So,
Say it one more time.
The Brooklyn Nets are the number one team in the NBA right now, without a doubt.
Are they?
They are, yeah.
We beat the Jazz, so I mean, we can
temper this a little bit because the Lakers loss, obviously, or Lakers win, excuse me, came without Schroeder and AD in the lineup. You know, it's like, how much do you want to parse that? But also no KD, but they're the hottest team in the NBA right now, aside from the Jazz last month. They're playing really well, played a little bit of defense here and there, and when you sweep a West Coast swing, that's really, really, really good.
That's not easy.
So, yes, your team, Young Zion, your team is the best team in the NBA right now.
Do you want to see? See, you're cashing in a little early on us on the victory laps. You don't want to wait to the playoffs?
It's not a victory lap yet, though, but it's just because I just was flabbergasted, annoyed, pissed off by all these people when they made the trade for James Harden. Some of these people on this podcast right here was talking about, I don't know how it's going to do. I don't know how it's going to work.
I've been dead wrong.
Bad. I told you can't overthink it. When you put three of the greatest offensive players together on one team, you cannot overthink it. It's just not. It's realistic. It's just being realistic.
For once in your life, Young Zion, you are correct.
They're very good.
Very good.
Just as good as the Nets are fun, the Celtics are – as not fun.
Oh, I thought you were going to say your Cavaliers who are crazy.
Worst team in the NBA.
We gotta mention the Cavaliers because you were just ecstatic after beating the Nets twice.
Cratered. Jesus Christ. They have cratered.
Like, they haven't won a game since. I don't think they haven't won a game.
We're a really good team, bro. We're a terrible team.
We're fucking terrible.
That top defense was a mirage. Holy shit.
Bring me Cade Cunningham, baby. Bring me Cade Cunningham.
What, the ninth point guard they drafted in the last 10 years?
Fuck it. Fuck the ones we got on the roster. They can.
Oh, you're already done with them.
I'm done.
You're done with what was it? Sexland? What's the?
Sexland has an STD.
That was the worst nickname.
Sexland really is the worst nickname.
Has to go to a doctor. Yeah. I'm over it. They're the worst team in the NBA. It's all right. Well, actually, the actual worst team in the NBA, I mean, not that we're like a Timberwolves or Raptors podcast, but the fact that the Timberwolves hired a coach last night, I've never seen that before.
They hired a coach mid-season from another team.
With the deal ready, they just were like, we have this guy ready to go.
And it's so bad that you have actual NBA players like Dame Lillard taking to Twitter.
Dame and CJ are close with the Wolves assistant who they think should have got the job. Yeah.
But as Woj tweeted out when the news broke last night, this is uncommon. I would include incredibly uncommon or basically never fucking happens. And it never happens when NBA players take other organizations to task for something like this.
Here's how you know if something is uncommon in the NBA. Has Dan Gilbert done it? No. Not even Dan Gilbert has hired a coach from another team in the middle of a season. He's fired two coaches and promoted two. But he's never done this, so that's how uncommon it is. Dame and CJ did take him to task. Not to spend too much time on that, because we do have Chris Webber on this podcast. It gets incredibly awkward. He gets very mad at Adam about Adam saying that he's a bad broadcaster.
No. Relax, pal. I said there's been some struggles on the broadcast.
Listen, just to to warn the audience, this is the most angry I've ever seen a guest on this podcast. It got heated. It wasn't like he was trying to hide it.
He was legit.
He was legit angry.
I was very uncomfortable. I was very uncomfortable.
The rest of the podcast was great.
You didn't help it either, asking a follow-up question that just got even him.
I had no idea where to go. I went the wrong way. I could have gone right or left, and I went the wrong way.
I would say the first part was good. The middle part got a little.
Have we ever had someone angry? Have we ever had a guest angry before at us? I don't think. I'm trying to remember all of our guests.
Not to that level.
We could, if we want to count Allen Iverson, but
well, AI just took Adam to the woodshed.
Stop that! The false narrative. You continue with that nonsense. It was something I brought up to him that had been generalized, and I want him to comment on it. With Chris, this is a little bit more pointed, but I want to give Chris credit because he's a good dude, and I asked him a somewhat tough question. But overall, I thought the podcast was fun, the first and end part, especially when we talked about college basketball.
I'm going through our list of guests, and I'm trying to think if anybody has ever gotten mad at us. Shump got mad at me a few times, didn't he, Zion?
I thought that was like good-natured fun.
Yeah,
good-natured.
I don't think it's anything serious.
Yeah. Well, a quick question for you, because thinking about our past guests, did you see JJ Redick's ejection?
Yeah,
oh, yeah,
bullshit.
That was
okay.
And then they did the report and they spelled his name wrong.
Incredibly ridiculous. But I'm trying to remember, what was the story he told us about getting ejected when we had him on the podcast?
Oh, that was
didn't he have another bullshit ejection against like the Celtics?
I forgot it, but Zion put the clip together and he shared it. Yeah,
I don't think it was I think it was warranted, his one against the Celtics.
He was yelling in the one that we posted when he talked about. He was like,
yeah. Or he tried to get a run on that ejection.
I'm trying to think. Yeah. No one's ever gotten mad at us before. Like, you know, sometimes you run out of luck, I guess. No, you know who got mad? Adam Schefter got mad after we recorded when I said assault to him. He got pissed off at me. But that I just said assault to him and he got mad.
It was a little testing this year.
Yeah. But let's talk some more NBA stuff before we get to that. Zion, do you have any comment on Philly trading Wentz? We haven't had a podcast since that happened.
No, I think they lost a trade. I definitely think they lost a trade. But Jalen Hurts. It's a Jalen Hurts show.
Zion, everybody's saying they're drafting a quarterback. Everybody.
If they draft that dude, Wilson.
Wilson's a Jet. You can mark down Wilson as a New York
a guy. Jet?
And he'll be a failure.
Wilson's going great. Two in front of Field Zion in every mock.
Racism. During Probably. Black History Month.
During Black History Month.
That's crazy.
It's on brand, though.
You know what's ironic? Who everybody thinks they might draft a QB, Trey Lance, who went to where did he go to school?
North Dakota State.
The same. Are they really about to draft? I mean, not that Trey Lance might not be good. Who knows?
Is Trey Lance black?
I don't know.
I'm just making sure because if Jalen Hurts is not the starting quarterback, I told y'all a couple weeks ago. That's racism. But actually, Trey Lance is black, so accept.
I'm glad we cleared that up.
I just think it's funny if they draft another quarterback from North Dakota. Like is North Dakota State the university the only place where the Eagles can draft quarterbacks from? Like, it'd be hilarious. But
it's very, very weird to.
And it sounds like Dak. It sounds like Dak's about to be back in Dallas. So I'm just trying to give a little NFC East roundup here. And it sounds like Washington is a strong player for Sam Darnold, I guess.
Russell Wilson is going to the Giants.
It does not sound like that at all. That is not what it does
sound
like.
Are you
currently having a fever dream right now, pal?
Mel Kiper said that Daniel Jones was better than all but every quarterback but Trevor Lawrence in this draft. I think Mel Kiper might be smoking dust.
Oh, Justin Fields, we'll see.
Justin Fields. But people are down on Justin Fields right now. The draft guys are down on Fields.
And I don't get it. Maybe he's not healthy.
This is the natural ebbs and flows of the mock drafts where guys rise for a few weeks and then they buoy back and forth. This is the same shit you see every single year.
I mean, last week we had the guys trying to say that some teams like Zach Wilson over Trevor Lawrence. Even.
I'm sure in 2 weeks we're going to hear about Mac Jones weaseling his way into the top 10. And he was like 2 months ago, he was like a
Mac Jones. Let me tell you about overrated QBs. Mac Jones is the most overrated QB in this draft.
The easiest job in the world last year.
He's just dumping off to Devontae Smith, 2 yard pass, 80 yard touchdown. Give it to Najee Hines, Is that his name? What is his name?
Who are you talking about, pal?
Najee Harris.
Just go 70 yards.
You know, the most intriguing, we have another mock coming next week. The most intriguing mock that I saw, for just this isn't a Giants podcast, but Kyle Pitts going to the Giants would be something. He's
who
probably
is Kyle Pitts? Is that
the Florida tight end? The Florida tight end.
Don't you want to upgrade over Evan Ingram?
I don't want no Kyle Pitts. I don't need a tight end.
He's like a wide receiver.
He's a generational tight end, pal.
Yeah, he's like Travis Kelce next.
That's what they said about Evan Ingram. They said he's going to be generational.
They missed
wrong
on that one.
Yeah, they were wrong on that one. All right, before we get to Chris Webber, let's do a quick wrap-up of the NBA stuff. We already talked about the Nets. Yeah, Nets are the best team in the NBA. Can the Celtics be fixed, do we think? Mm-hmm. And why are they so bad when they have Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum? Because those are two top 20 NBA players. Right. Because
everything else around them is a mess.
Is it Kemba's? Can we blame Kemba?
People kind of underrating Marcus Smart's absence, too, I think.
And he's going to be out for a while.
Is a huge piece to that team.
Your boy Tristan Thompson is underperformed.
Whose boy? Chops his boy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Bring him back.
And the depth for the Celtics, they miss Gordon Hayward. I mean, obviously.
Who's balling in Charlotte? Gordon Hayward's balling.
He wasn't playing like this with Boston, but they miss his production, and they have basically zero depth behind.
What does this say? So Kyrie got back to form after leaving Boston. Gordon Hayward looks really good in Charlotte. Terry Rozier looks really good in Charlotte. What does that say about the Boston Celtics?
It says that Danny Ainge ain't the genius we're making him out to be.
Is it Stevens? Is it Ainge? Like where? Like something?
It's fit too. I mean, it's fit. But I think Stevens is Stevens was once. That Bill Simmons tweet that he'll take.
No, it wasn't. Brad's. Don't do that to Bill. That was Chris Mannix. Do not do that to Bill.
What Simmons. Did he say? He take. Oh, okay.
Chris Mannix said he did like a poll, and he's like, if you gave me the opportunity to take Giannis or Ben Stevens, I'm taking Stevens. I get why you would say that was Bill Simmons, but let's not. We can say enough like things about Bill Simmons.
Yeah, but Mannix is obviously a Boston guy, also. So
very true.
He is. That's nasty. That's disgusting.
That's an egregious
nasty tweet. That's a nasty thing to say. Take Giannis or take fucking Brad Stevens over Giannis. The Bucks are struggling too. You think Giannis is regretting
They lost five in a row. Whoever the Bucks social media manager is that tweeted scary hours last night after beating the Kings after a 5-game losing
streak. I mean, but it's been quiet for the Bucks social ever since they tweeted the one DiVincenzo thing.
That was bad. That was racism.
What was it?
They said I forgot because the names on the back of the jerseys.
They said equality.
Oh yeah, something about equality, but. Yeah, I think the East is kind of shaping up. I think if people are sleeping on that's starting to pick it up, not the Heat, but the Raptors. The Raptors are starting to look skinny.
But here's the thing about the Raptors. Everybody thinks they're going to trade Lowry.
And they probably should.
What contender?
Philly. They said Philly today wants Lowry.
You think that his services wouldn't be wanted? It's just a matter of money.
But how are you going to make it fit?
People think a Drummond three-way trade could involve Lowry, and Drummond ends up in Toronto. Lowry ends up somewhere else.
That'd be
because their salaries are what somewhat similar. Chops right about 20.
Yes, yeah. It's very clear that Fred VanVleet is the point guard of the future in Toronto. He's playing unreal.
Let Kyle Lowry go to Philly. They're not being the Nets if he goes.
You're not. Philly. Who do you fear the most in the East right now? You have to pick someone. It has to be Philly. Embiid is going to give y'all problems.
There is zero choice. Yeah, how are you thinking about this?
I fear Philly, but the Raptors gave us trouble. Even though KD, even though that game was fluky because they pulled out KD like.
There's twice. No way they have enough firepower though, Zion. There's no way they have enough firepower.
They don't. I'm not really worried about anyone, but it's probably Philly just because
Embiid is a matchup nightmare. He's playing at MVP level. But
I'll tell
MVP
you, in
right
the playoff
now.
Series, I'm not worried about Danny Green, man, make it corner three. So.
All right, stop bullying Danny Green. He's
stop bullying our former podcast guest.
Friend
here,
of the
pal.
Pod, friend of the social. He likes more of the post than anybody
else. Yeah, he really does. He likes the Complex Sports post more than anybody else.
Yeah, so no seen. Slander to Danny.
Shout
Don't
out to
that.
Danny Green, but I'll tell you, he's a UNC Tar Heel, so I could talk my smack. If you're open in the corner in the playoffs, I'm expecting bricks.
Before we get to the Chris Webber interview, which is Fireworks galore. Zion, is Duke making the NCAA?
Duke is making the tournament. We are back, baby.
Adam, is UConn making the tournament?
They have a little work to do, but they probably should. They probably should.
Well, who has UConn has a better chance than Duke?
UConn has a better chance right now, I think, based on because Duke isn't even near the first four out, right, Zion? They're not even, I don't even think they're kind of like next four out. Oh, they're rising up a little bit. Yeah, UConn's got some work to do. I think Duke has more work to do.
And with Jalen Johnson, they're gonna evaluate Duke differently. Number one, because they want Duke in the tournament. Number two, Jalen Johnson leaving gives them a reason, excuse to assess.
Okay, and also,
can you give me a quick rundown on what is this? Did this guy just suck? Like, did he just like kill the chemistry?
Well, behind the scenes, I'll give you all the inside scoop. That's
here we go. Really sources:
Jalen Johnson had a beef with Coach K from day one. Like they,
how cute
they were clashing heads from the beginning, and that's rare for a guy in college to come out here, a guy from high school to just come to Duke and kind of try to assert his way with Coach K.
So yeah, that's pretty goddamn audacious on his part.
There was beef from the beginning. It just never worked out, and eventually it's gone.
All right, real quick, you talked about the NCAA tournament committee taking into account Jalen Johnson's absence. Well, same thing has to go with UConn and James Booknight, so goes both ways, pal.
Yeah, but Duke is a better brand. So
I will say, I've watched one college basketball game this year. I watched Michigan, Ohio State, and that was a high level.
No, you were watching Duke, game. Virginia.
I watched the last 2 minutes.
I think Juwan Howard described that as a boxing match.
It was very good. They were raining threes. Like Michigan's got this goofy white dude who was scoring. It was great.
Quick shout out to Oscar Valdez for that performance on Saturday night against Miguel Burchelt and probably what will be the KO of the year. And he has entered our pound for pound rankings. That was a phenomenal performance.
I mean, I was just sad watching that because it reminded me that 1 year ago today, like we were in Vegas.
As we're taping this on Monday, February 22nd, 1 year ago, Chops and I were in Vegas for Tyson Fury, Deontay Wilder 2.
Just swimming in Rona.
We had no idea.
We had kind of an idea. It wasn't like you got sick.
You got sick. I did.
I got sick in Vegas. Like, yeah, I don't like tell a lot of people that because I still hit the tables.
Walking to go to the bathroom just before the fight was about to go down, the main event. Like I was like a packed bar trying to like go through a sea of people. Like you were like,
and the crazy one about that was, you know how many people from Europe were there to see Fury?
Oh, yeah.
That was a worldwide event. We were.
There's so many people that came over from Britain and even some Asian fans, too. So it's like it was the international flavor, international, I guess. What's the word I'm looking for here?
Just everybody was there from all over.
Yeah, it was insane. So, I mean, the Rona was like literally floating all over the place that entire week.
Just like me and Zion Super Bowl weekend when we were swimming in the Rona. No. Yep.
I wasn't swimming in the Rona. That's.
Adam, so we're about to get to the Chris Webber interview. Adam, do you want to apologize to him before or no?
You know, I asked a question. It wasn't an easy one. I probably could have phrased it a little bit differently. And I'm going to give Chris all the credit in the world because he stood there and answered it. And he has every right to, you know, be pissy about it. And that's fine. But I give him credit for answering it. And I don't think it was that bad. But you guys be the judge of it. And also, I think he was a great sport about the entire podcast in general. And he was fun. And hopefully, he's not pissed off enough at me that he'll come back on at some point.
Yeah.
But that's debatable.
Let's get to the interviews. And you guys can judge for yourself. All right. Big one for us. Welcome to the podcast, Chris Webber, 5-time NBA All-Star, entrepreneur, broadcaster for Turner. You're in so many different things. Chris, welcome to the pod.
What's up, fellas?
So before we get into some other stuff, I do want to talk about your cannabis initiative first, because it's really amazing what you did. You partnered with JW Asset Management to launch a $100 million private equity cannabis fund that will help companies led by minority entrepreneurs pursuing careers in the cannabis industry. That is amazing. And so first off, how did that come about and what drew you to kind of this opportunity to help it? Because if anybody knows anything about the cannabis industry, it's predominantly white and it's hard for minorities and people of color to get into that industry. And it's really just not a fair thing.
Yeah. So I've been in the cannabis industry probably about 4.5-5 years. And I've seen my partner happens to be a woman who happens to be black and, you know, in it, you know, because maybe you can curry a little favor with your name and things like that. Maybe you get indoors, others can't and everything. But again, it's only 6 degrees of separation. So you're watching how people are being treated. And I just realized, like, man, these things, you know, it's never anyone in the room that looks like me. It's never a woman in the room. It's never, you know, any other there's never anyone else in the room. And but knowing the culture, having friends, knowing hardworking people, knowing the hardworking ethics that their parents put into them, you know, I trust people in our culture a lot more. And so in having this conversation with Jason Wild, who's one of the industry leaders, he understood and we shared the same concerns. And what was crazy is that, you know, as an industry leader, he put his money and we're going to put our money where our mouth is. But it really starts with him to change the culture. So I've been in the business a while, man, and I've just been frustrated by the good old boys network that, you know, we see in everything else.
No, definitely. And it's interesting because we actually just had Marshawn Lynch on last week on this podcast, and he's very similarly getting into the business and trying to break through, you know, so.
I'm surprised.
Yeah, right.
I love Marshawn.
Oh, man, he's really the best. He's really the best. But I mean, it's just great to see kind of, I mean, you're trying to break down like legit barriers in an industry that there's just so much money available to people, you know?
Think about the industry. I don't know if any of you know people. I'm sure, yeah, I know you guys know some people that are just in that culture. And in the cannabis culture, it's crazy because the culture is, you know, whoever you are, bring yourself. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's one of the most, to me, inviting cultures. It's part hip hop, rock and roll, old folks, young folks. It's find your flavor, you know? And so it's just really weird in a culture that is so diverse that it wouldn't be that way. And really what I'm just trying to do, brother, is that I have the opportunity to be around great people, maybe bring ideas and finances to it, but it's all based on, you know, my life. Like, I have a diverse friends. I admire diverse people. It's not so novel. It's just so evil what America has done. It's not so novel what we're doing. It's just, you know, they targeted certain communities, and we just plan to change that. And hopefully this shows other industries that it's okay to invest in people and they'll change in individuals. And that means investing in communities. And then you really can see what happens. So hopefully this shows success across the board.
Chris, you're obviously not the only former NBA player who's kind of got into the cannabis business. So curious if you have talked to any of the, you know, former players that you play with, just ex-NBA guys about their experience in the cannabis industry, because there are guys that are, you know, front and center and out there who have been notable about their involvement. Also been some other guys I know personally who have been more like low key about it, but have you talked to like the former players and the guys you play with about their experiences?
Yeah. So it's all about your personality. And I think you have to go back to my man, John Sally, when you really think about who was out there first, him and his daughter, shout out to Deuces. Shout out to Viola, who's such a crazy freaking grandma, one of my favorites in the world, you know, Al Harrington. And that's what's funny. It's like, it's not about how many basketball players have it. It's not about how many black people have it, how many Latino brothers have it. It's about just, man, how many people have access to it, who's doing what they're doing, and they support each other. So shout out to Matt Barnes. Shout out to all of my brothers. So I'm blessed enough to have played in a league where we were on it, using it for pain management and other things. And I support them, and I look forward to working with them. This is, you know, this is just the beginning of the notoriety of what we're doing. But I was able to speak to a couple of them. They encouraged me. I encouraged them. But, you know, again, right now, even though I have my own brands, I don't feel like talking about those. Shout out to Viola, Deuces, and others, because they've been out here, they've been grinding, and they're going to be successful. They're the reason that I can build confidence in someone like Jason to show success. So they've been so important to it. I'm not no hero. I'm not no star. They aren't either. It's just, you know, they grind and putting their foot to the pedal, and we're just trying to do our best. So, yeah, shout out to everybody.
How do you think the league has changed from when you played to now, and how they deal with guys? Because you just mentioned pain management, but, like, do you think the league is better at handling guys who want to, you know, smoke and use it for, you know, like that kind of thing?
I think, you know, the world's changed, you know. If you think about the millions and millions of dollars that the government and others put into commercializing the narrative of being negative about, you know, cannabis. So took a while to fight that narrative, you know, of the reefer madness and the other things. So I think that, you know, the NBA is better now, but society's better now. You know what I mean? When you talk about, you know, 55% of people over 65 approve of that. Like, when I grew up, if you saw someone smoking or something, and You even said anything, your mom would smack you upside your head. Now, mom's like, well, that hurts, baby. You got anything? So I think everybody understands, you know, and aren't, you know, as mind controlled as they once were. So the NBA is doing a better job this year. It has been, it's not, it's kind of, I guess you could say, on stalemate for a minute.
They're not testing. Yeah.
Right, I think they're addressed in the next CBA. But if I was an NBA player, of course, I would vote not to have that. But, you know, I had older players, you know, 10 to 15 years older at the time that didn't feel the same way. So I'm sure the culture is caught up, and I'm sure you won't see that. And that it's not even baseball already. And so other sports. So, it's you know, the world usually is, the culture happens, the world catches up late, and they try to buy
the Did you have older teammates that were like on the Stephen A. Smith, like the stay off the weed type thing?
Well, you know, honestly, I didn't really advertise. Like I'm low key anyway. Yeah. So for me, you know, it is what it is, and whatever, you know, floats your boat. But I'm not trying to be an advocate for anything. Now, I will say that, you know, when your body hurts, when, you know, you're on the road every day, you know, all these things, you know, there are certain things you can choose. And I would not want to choose alcohol, you know, because I know what, you know, that does. And so, you know, to each his own, that's kind of how I've always been, stayed in my lane, even though I do sip alcohol and put that out there. You know? but you know, I never was out there with the fellas or, you know, trying to be in the cypher or anything like that. I was just,
I love that. I think we got to bring it up. So C-Web, your Turner teammate, Kenny Smith, was on this podcast in July. And we brought up a list that we did of our 30 best basketball players of all time. And it started a whole thing. They played it on Inside the NBA. And Kenny got, he was trending on Twitter for like a week. So we want to read to you our top 10 and get your thoughts on it. How about that?
Okay, and with him, it was 30, and he just...
Well,
he just
no, Kenny's from a different generation, so Kenny had very different takes about our top 10, which is obviously more contemporary than top 10.
Oh, yeah. Tiny Archibald.
Exactly. Tiny Archibald was a big point for Kenny.
Yeah, that's one of his favorite. Yeah. You will not... Tiny Archibald is in everything. Who's the best chef in the world? Tiny Archibald.
All right, so number one, we have Michael Jordan. Just right off, you know... Easy, pretty standard, you know. Number two, LeBron James. Number three, Kareem. Number four, Magic Johnson.
Oh, you already got thoughts.
Number five, Kobe Bryant. Let's stop there. So Jordan, LeBron, Kareem, Magic, Kobe for the five.
That's a hell of a five. That's a hell of a five. So this is a tough argument because I don't believe wins put you up there. I don't believe that. Okay. I don't. Because, you know, you know, a lot of behind, you know, the scenes stuff. But winning 11 is something. Like, winning 11 is something. And Russell. I think Russell has to be.
We got Bill at nine. We got Bill behind Wilt and Shaq.
Shaq and Wilt?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Let me hear 62.
Okay. So six is Shaq, seven is Larry, eight is Wilt, nine is Bill, 10 is Tim Duncan, and then it goes into, you know,
six Oscar. Is Shaq. Yeah. Six is Shaq, eight is Larry, nine is who?
No, seven is Larry, eight is Wilt, nine is Bill, and then 10 is Tim Duncan.
Magic is one of my favorite players, and he was LeBron to me before LeBron.
That Michigan connection.
Yeah, LeBron is
Magic. Yeah, but Magic went to Michigan State. There's a little, yeah, little,
he went to Michigan State. Michigan,
yeah, that's true.
That, a little bit.
That's a rival.
Some Hatfields and McCoys right there.
Yeah.
Watch out. My brother went to Michigan State. I don't really mess with him that much. I think, I think that's a solid list. I think everybody on that list deserves to be on there. You know, I just, yeah.
Kobe, you have Bill higher?
Kobe was Kobe was cold, man. I just don't know how.
All right, so then, but then, Chris, what's your Mount Rushmore for NBA players? We asked that, guys, also.
Yeah.
So put your top four of all time.
Or just keep it five. Give us a round.
Jordan, you can do a five.
Yeah.
Jordan. Man, I just hate different generations because that just messed. You know, Jordan. I got to take Jordan. Jordan Magic Will. Jordan Magic. Cole. Jordan Magic Cole Bron. That's messed up. Like, the fifth is so debatable. Jordan Magic Cole Bron.
It's so hard. Put,
but you said Bill.
Shaq gonna get you if you say Bill, though. Shaq gonna get you.
But Shaq knows. Shaq will tell you Bill. You know what I mean? Well, Shaq will tell you.
Would he?
Yeah. I think
so. Okay.
I think so. I think, at least in front of Bill.
It's really like one of the hardest. It's crazy how hard it is to do this, you know?
Yeah, because it's your favorites, because, you know, I could put my favorites up against your top and probably beat you. Even though my top five is my top five, mm-hmm. but the favorites I come on probably could beat my top five, I feel. I feel like if I put Isaiah at the one, if I put Dominique in, okay, he ain't going to play no D, but if I put Akeem in at the five, and Jordan said that's the only man he fears. So I got Isaiah Bird. You give me Isaiah Bird, Olajuwon. Give me a dog.
Neek? You said Neek?
I'm going to take Nick off. Isaiah Bird, Olajuwon.
Maybe a little D-Wade in there? Oscar? A little D-Wade in there at the two?
You give me Isaiah Bird, Olajuwon, and KD.
I was about to say, how about this? We have KD at 13 and Steph at 15 on this list.
I like all that, but I can't put them on a list until their career is over, because I'm going to tell you why. You're assuming so much. Like, so first of all, definitely Curry's the best shooter of all time.
Yeah.
But if he ended his career right now and say, I'm just making this up, he has 4,000 assists, and I'm just making this up. Someone else has the same amount of threes and 12,000 assists or something. You got to take all that into account. And injury?
Yeah.
Got to take into account, because if not, you know, Grant Hill would be on one of these lists. And I do believe he's that great, so I like making them earn it by waiting. But all of those guys, you know.
But Curry also has back-to-back MVPs. And he's currently second all-time in three.
The thing is, Nash had back-to-back MVPs.
Curry's MVPs, I think no one really had an issue that he robbed somebody else of those MVPs, although I guess LeBron would be the argument.
I remember, the year he won, the players, he was issued. The first year he was.
Yeah, James Harden.
Yeah. All right.
And he's cold. He is cold. But also, you know, he won the championship with Durant. And also, so when I look at those things and say Isaiah Thomas is a small guard and won without any of that. And he's the only one to beat Jordan, Magic, and Bird. So I just mean, like, I know that in the stats, like, you guys got to remember, right now you get to average about 15 to 11 dribbles. Like, if you get to do that, you could do any move you want. So when I say Kyrie is the best ball handler, it's because, one, I believe he is. But two, because he stole, which he should, from Isaiah, and he stole from his godfather, Rod Strickland. And if you go back and ask them, if they could have 15 dribbles, so it's just a different opportunity. You know what I'm saying? And I just try to keep that. I try to keep that in mind. Like, if Jordan could have came in at 20, you know what I'm saying? So it's just a lot of content.
Wasn't this the argument you were having with Marv on the telecast the other night about, you know, how, you know, guys from the past, some people say they can't play in today's NBA, and it's clear the skill level of the greatest players of all time would find a way to morph and evolve in today's game and be just as impactful as today's superstars?
Well, let me ask this real quick. We drop in 2002 C-Web. We drop in 2002 C-Web into 2021, and that's 25 and 15 C-Web.
I mean, when I was in D.C., I shot 39% from the three-point line and was told to stay in the post. Like, it wasn't the game.
Yeah.
You know, it lengthens your career. It's less banging. It's less fouling. You can use other attributes like running and speed. That's why I love playing on the West Coast, because the West Coast had this in their future, or had this, the future in their game a little bit already. So I'm not saying everyone could, because a lot of guys could not play. Like, if you could just play defense and you were known as just that guy and not being able to shoot, no, you could not play. Mm-hmm. But for guys that could dribble, pass, and shoot, basketball players, this is what you were waiting for. This is the playground. This is nothing. This is nothing but the playground organized. That's all it is. And so, if Isaiah would have had, and that's why I don't like doing that, because I don't want to disrespect Curry or that. I just think that Bird averaged 3 threes a game.
That's
when he came in, the league average was 80 threes or something stupid a year. Something like 800 threes. Now, guys are averaging 11 threes a game. I just mean, like, let's just do the math. You don't think if he had five more shots, he'd make two more a game? You know what I mean? Or even Reggie or even other guys. So I just never hear in baseball that, this guy would have done it in football where it looks like guys couldn't have done it. And I just want to make sure we keep honoring him. Because in about 100 years, I don't know how, but these guys are going to look like old compared to, I don't know what we're going to be doing in 6-point line. But I just try to keep a context. But that's a hell of a top 10 you got. I mean,
if you drop Babe Ruth into the baseball now, he's hitting 190, I think, to
But see, I've never heard that in baseball. And people like my grandpa, all of them, they hate striking. I'm talking about baseball. So, but it is, but Gretzky would be great right now.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
that's a good segue, because I found a tweet of yours. Like 5 years ago, you said LeBron would be Megatron in the NFL if he played. And it came back up because Bron was like, I could have played in the NFL. So.
LeBron, when I saw him, man, LeBron is just—he's crazy, because as athletic as he is, he's as smart and thoughtful. But he's really the best athlete I've ever seen. I put AI in that category. I put others in that category. AI wasn't the biggest, but he's fast, quick, could throw a football 60 yards easy. But LeBron is just—it's just nothing like him. If he wanted to play tight end, he's linebacker, like whatever he wanted to do. If he wanted to put weight on, like he. He has that mindset, he has that body, and obviously 18 years in the league, he got that mentality.
Who's the best?
AI could. My bad. I just want to say AI that could have been Kyler Murray in the NFL. Like, if you look at Kyler Murray and you go back and look at AI high school football tape, it's very similar. It's very similar. Well,
you look at Randy Moss. Randy Moss could have been like a T-Mac. Randy Moss played with my boy Jay Will, White Chocolate. Randy Moss was Mr. Basketball. You know what I mean? I played tight end. I was nowhere like these guys, but you know how it is. Every hooper wants to be a football player. Every football player wants to be a rock and roll. Every rock and roll wants to be rap. It just goes around. And so, it's just finding, your gig. But, yeah, there's some guys out there that are athletes. But, yeah, I've seen Randy Moss get up and do his thing. But definitely AI could have done this. But LeBron, he'd have been crazy.
No, I'm just curious. I mean, you bring up all these guys, kind of back in your day that were incredibly athletes. You cross over LeBron a little bit, but who was the best athlete you played with that probably could have been a two-sport star, just wowed you consistently in practice all the time?
Good question. Jay Will. I thought he definitely could have been quarterback. I mean, he reminds me of Manziel, because that's how he acted, walking and all that. Johnny Manziel back in
the day. College Johnny Manziel, not NFL.
College, yeah, I'm talking about that Manziel.
Yeah.
Or Mayfield, like Jay Will is tough, but he really loved football. He could throw that thing. He was a great athlete. The best athletes I played with, I think, were the quickest guards. I was able to play with some guys that really were fast, quick, and he's one. And Ben Wallace probably is the machine. Ben Wallace and Darwin Ham. Darwin Ham is assistant coach right now for the Bucks. He broke backboards, things like that. He would come in, didn't have to stretch and just be able to run and all that good stuff. So those guys.
C-Web, I'm curious, because Shaq has gotten in some hot water with the way that he kind of interacts with the younger guys these days. Is it just sometimes the older players can't fully accept the younger guys? What do you think it is? Because you show a lot of love when you're on the broadcast. You show a lot of love to the younger guys. Then, it's just not as universal,
Yeah, well, one reason why I like commentating is because, like, I used to love John Madden. John Madden was the type, like, he'd be like, oh, man, instead of he'd be like, you see how Adam couldn't tackle that guy? He's terrible. He'd be like, oh, look how good Barry Sanders is. Even Adam couldn't tackle him. You know, it's like the business of basketball. You know, mm-hmm. I love hoop. I know how tough it is. And I used to hear the narratives in sports, you know, from when, you know, blacks weren't smart enough to be quarterbacks to, you know, all he has, the athletic ability. So my thing is just, these guys got family. Let me just call the truth. The guy sucks today. Just say it and keep it moving. I felt like people used to do to speak negatively on me all the time. And so I'm really don't get in those conversations, but I'm not the type. Like, I don't have time to hate on no one or be negative or anything like that. I call it like I see it, and hopefully I call it like I see it in a way that is honest and truthful. And, you know, I'm not stepping on your character or challenging your hearts. Stuff like that, you know. I just, you know, treat people like, you know, I want to be treated or, you know, if you say something about me that, you know, I want you to be prepared to see me when I saw you and have the same exact, you know, energy. So I just, you know, I just try to commentate like I live my life. And so what everybody else do, I don't know, but I don't play games either way, from players to me or from me to them.
Wait, so let's ask about this broadcast. When are you and Marv getting back in the arenas? Because it's been a little bit of a tough listen with you guys being so far, you know, removed from each other with Marv in New York, you in Atlanta. So when are you guys getting back in the arena to make a more cohesive broadcast?
Yeah, way to say tough listen, get that in there, make sure people know you're good with it and all that.
Adam's a hater.
Body energy, I've been like you said, body energy is good, man. I get it, but check it out. I just think that it is what it is. Marv is one of the greatest voices in the game. If no one else is a tough listener or if no one else is messed up, then I don't know how many games you've been watching to single that out. I don't know when we'll get back in, so hopefully it's so people will like watching.
Well, I'll say this. Like, there's been a million tough listens during this pandemic. It's not. I know it's not easy for you guys, and I'm not trying to, you know, belittle that. But obviously the fact that you guys aren't next to each other, you can't, you know, kind of riff off your mannerisms and you don't have the same chemistry being in different areas. It doesn't make for the broadcast that I'm normally used to. And there's been obviously plenty of bitching and moaning on Twitter about not necessarily your broadcast, but a lot of broadcasts, whether it's NBA, NFL, been a little bit different story, but a lot of these remote broadcasts have just been tough, tough listens that we're used to being, again, better, more cohesive productions.
Yeah.
It's fair. It's got to be tough not being in the arena.
I mean, it is what it is. I don't know what you mean.
No, it's fine. It's fair.
It is what it is.
Adam's a hater.
No, I mean, there's...
But it is what it is. The games aren't the same. I mean, for somebody to be in a pandemic worrying about how the game sounds, I mean, that's great. I'm just worried. I mean, that's wonderful. Right? I mean, I hope it gets better for all the fans out there. You know, I'm sorry. I hope it gets better. To people that just want shit to talk about, fuck you. And to everybody else, it is what it is.
Like, I love that. I love that.
You know what I mean? Like,
C-Web, tell him. Tell him off, C-Web. Tell him off, C-Web. He's a hater.
No, I'm not even talking to him. I'm talking to the world. It is what it is. So there's a lot of people.
I've put music on for some broadcasting there just because, you know, it's been better, but like I know it's not easy and I'm not trying to
shit. That's great. So now mention how you put something over the broadcast. I like you. You're like the girl I used to date. I like that. Oh no, I put sound over the broadcast. Like, come on, man, we grown men, man. Talk to me, man. It's a bad broadcast. Hopefully it gets better, man. Talk to me, man. I'm not a gimmick for the show.
I just want to know why Shaq keeps hating on the younger players. That's all I want to know, C-Web.
Ask him.
We're trying to get him on the pod. We're trying to get him on the pod.
What does that have to do with me?
No, are you guys talking
to me about Shaq? I have nothing to say. Shaq, my homie.
I know he's your homie. I like that. C-Web, when are you going to, are you ever going to produce music again, you think? A lot of people don't know that you have two great productions with Nas. Are you ever going to, you think, do that again?
I make beats all the time. I try to get better. I'm just a fan of music. I grew up in music.
So you're still making beats?
I've always just made beats. You know, Nas, shout out to my brother. He gave me the opportunity to, you know, showcase, you know, my beats. But, you know, because he knows me, he would hear the beats. But I've always made them. It's just been something. It happened, you know, in college, right after college. Shout out to KG from Naughty by Nature. You know, you have such a schedule that at night, you know, you're getting in the cities at 2 a.m, you know, schedules off, things like that. You can't eat, stuff like that. And so taking the whole little rig on the road with me making beats was something I started over 25 years ago. And so to this day, I make beats, have a, you know, studio, and whenever I can get in there, I get in there, and, you know, it's a peace of mind. It's like a sanctuary, like the court needs to be.
Are you big on the new era? Do you kind of accept like the new era hip hop, or do you kind of keep it with the Jays and the Nas's, or, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I accept everything. Yeah, I mean, it has to be. I mean, we were young, no one accepted us, so I have to accept the young people. But I'm a old head R&B guy, man. I'm an old head, you know, hip hop R&B guy. Shout out to the young guys, especially the young Detroit rappers and all of them around. So yeah, I love hip hop.
You throwing on some Lil Baby sometimes though? That's, you know, just.
I mean, whoever it is, but mostly, you know, I'm a grown man. I'm in my 40s, but I'm a twin. So right now, I can tell you more about Baby Shark. I can tell you more about, you know what I'm saying, PJ Masks, things like that. But yeah, no, man, I love music, and I love everybody and every artist. So no hate. There's no hate in my blood. I hope they all get it. And more importantly, I hope the artists see the past mistakes of other artists, and I hope they're in control, really, of their future when we talk about finances, because, you know, we know the business can be tough. So hopefully they learn from the greats like Prince and others before them that left messages for them, and hopefully they decode them and, you know, change it for the next generation.
Definitely, definitely. Have you been, I'm curious, have you been watching the G League at all? The Ignite team with the young kids who kind of, you know, skip college, like the Jalen Green and, you know, Kuminga. Have you been watching them at all?
No, I haven't. I've been studying up on college now, getting ready for the NCAAs. Recent kids like young Kenyon Martin and others. No, so right now I'm just in the midst of trying to balance, getting ready right now for All-Star Game. And college coming up, but it's going to be time for those kids. And most of them, I watched them in high school. I've known them since they first dribbled the basketball, so I'm pretty familiar with some of their careers.
Zion, you got to ask C Web about your college basketball theory this year.
Oh, I mean, yeah. I mean, we had Anthony Davis on the podcast. I'm a Duke fan, just to let you know. Duke, die hard Duke fan. But we had Anthony Davis on the podcast, and he agreed with me that this season is kind of weird. Doesn't count. It shouldn't count. Just because with Duke the pandemic, the no fans. Obviously, fans are big in college basketball. So what are your thoughts on this year's season?
No, wait. You're missing out some of the theory points here. His theory is that because Kentucky sucks.
Oh, yeah.
UNC Ducks sucks. That this college basketball season is null and void and should be thrown out, ignored, and doesn't really count.
That's why I started off by saying I'm a Duke fan. Exactly. You know. You don't want to know what Coach Nate Oates said. Like, I know the college game. Coach Nate Oates, he was up there in Michigan a long time and all that, and he said it. And actually, if I was a kid, I'd want to go to Alabama and play for him. He said the only reason why Coach K is saying that not because he loses at home in non-conference.
That's not true.
So, Zion,
that's not true.
Zion, as a Duke fan, which was like a caveat in the whole conversation. Like, I don't even – so let me just tell you, I'm a Duke fan. You know what I mean? Like, I love the players of Duke. I'm close with Grant Hill. Coach K is the man. I don't have any of that. You know, they beat us. Bobby Hurley's my guy. So I'm not rooting for y'all or the ACC. I'm Big Ten first. Mm-hmm. But Coach K is the man. However, you know, y'all got to take y'all lumps. Y'all usually, you know, every other year, one shining moment, y'all, you know, so polished and, you know, so, you know, character-oriented. Until it's the pandemic, y'all don't say nothing to y'all.
But it's games. No. But it's not just us.
Now you worried about the safety protocol.
No. It's not just us.
Get him. Yeah. Get him.
It's not just us. It's Kentucky. It's UNC.
You know who is not?
Who? Who cares about Michigan, bro? Y'all don't do anything but make Final Fours and lose ultimately. When's the last time
I like that? Now, see, this is shit. This is what I like talking, because this is not hate. Now, I like this. But you know what though? Y'all the same people, right? When was the last one? When did y'all win?
2015. Very recent. That's very recent.
When was it?
2015.
When was it?
2015.
And 5 years later, you're losing and you want to stop playing, that's the heart of the champion.
No. It's, that has nothing to do with that. The non-conference games were what they are. Non-conference games don't mean much to Duke. It's non-conference games.
Right, because y'all only play North Carolina A&T. You don't play really nobody in non-conference. Non-conference don't matter.
We play Illinois and Michigan State this year. When they were both ranked in the top 10.
Who won that game?
Both of them. That was the first time we don't.
And that's when y'all got sick.
They said, we got to go.
No, I'm just messing. Man, it's like this. Being good, you're going to get the love and you're going to get the hate. You just got to take it. Because me personally, you know, y'all, like, it's like this. I love my family in Chicago, but they have the Bulls. So I don't mind watching them lose every single year. They've had enough good times in their life, in my opinion. You as a Duke fan, you had enough joy for the rest of your life. And you're going to see once Coach K retired, because y'all never going to win again. That's another story. Whoa. But, you know, you're going to be all right. But no, man, y'all got to run the tape, man. Y'all got to play. Y'all can't just say, you know, this year. Come on.
They still might
make it. It'll be a good tournament.
C-Web, give us C-Web, do you got a pick? Unbiased pick. You can't say Michigan. Or you could say Michigan if you want. Do you have a favorite for the tournament since you've been studying it?
This is the first. I'm not, you know, I probably am biased, to be honest, but this is the first time I've been biased enough to pick us.
Okay.
To win it. You know what I mean? I really believe that, but, you know, it's some good teams. Zag, you know, there's some good teams out there, so. Yeah. And it's going to be different this year, the makeup, how the tournament works. I think it's going to be some of the most upsets ever this year because of how the bubble works. Like, trust me, we saw it in the bubble, and we're going to see it in this bubble, too.
I was about to say, is it about to be more random than ever in Indy this year?
Oh, yeah. Like this, I wouldn't be, you know, because a lot of it, when you play sports, you know, as you guys may know, like, a lot of it is, like, how big it is, or going into Duke and there's 10,000 wild people and it's in a small arena and all you need is four plays in which you lose, you know, your mindset because it's so loud and the game is over and it can run away. Well, without momentum, without tangible momentum, man, I don't, you know, it's now the young guys can go on a 13-0 run and how do you get that back? So, yeah, I think it evens out the playing field. And truthfully, for college sports, I think it makes it better. Like, I don't want just guys to get upset just because they've won in their past or anything like that, but it'll be more true Cinderellas because you don't have to go on some, you don't have to go to Kentucky and beat Kentucky in Kentucky in front of 30,000 fans, you know? It's more of an even playing field.
Definitely. It's going to be good. See, Zion, do you want to get one more?
I will say, since I think we're running low on time, Zion's Duke team is beating the 5-5. That's all I'll say.
You are lost.
You
clowned yourself with that one, pal.
Yeah,
I'm still being that serious.
C-Web, you don't even know.
This is how beef start because I like them. You about to make me say something that would have happened 30 years ago that never can happen. I came with this like, no, we got to go. No, man, that'd be. You almost got me. Who else was on that team?
What,
on Duke's team?
Zion, what round did they make?
Wait,
in the
hold on. On Duke's team?
Yeah, who was on that
RJ
team?
RJ Barrett, number 3 pick of the draft. All-American, first team All-American.
I like his game.
He's shining for the Knicks.
Cam Reddish.
Yeah, he balled.
Cam Reddish.
Playing basketball this year.
Trey Jones, ACC Player of the Year last year. That's a squad right there.
You only said 4, so you don't
know. Marquise Bolden is on the Cavs right now.
No, he's not. I'm a Cavs
fan.
Yes, he
is. Check the roster. He's on the Cavs.
He's on the G League.
So, you're about to make me say
he's a two-way player.
Okay.
You're not
I'm just saying.
Ask Coach K. Ask Coach K.
The best. I'm just saying. You versus Zion. Don't make me say it, C-Web.
I tell you what.
Don't make me say it.
I'm telling you this, though. I'm telling you this. I was no fool. So I know when he goes like this, I'm wrapping him up.
If we play in today's rules, they call it that a flake.
You know what? You're right about that. I just had to get out of the way. That's what I had to do. Hey, buddy, I tell you what, he's one of my. I mean, he made me love college basketball again. So, yes. Man, I love his game. You think he's going to get in the dunk contest? You think he's that type of dunker? Can he do it?
No, he is that type of dunker. He just doesn't show it, I think, in the NBA for some reason. But I hope one day. I don't think it'll be this year, though.
See, I'm glad Bron didn't do the dunk contest.
Well, Bron didn't have to lie about it, though.
People would – see, he does have hops. See, that's what I'm saying. He has them. Mm-hmm. But I just think the bar set so high, it was Jordan after that people would have ended up disrespecting him and not realize. Like, y'all see the dunks he's doing it at this age? You're telling me he can't practice. As much as he practices, you're telling me he can't practice a dunk? That's all I'm saying. If he wanted it. But I'm glad he didn't because the expectation.
But C-Web, Bron got himself into that because he went out and said he was going to do it. That's what his problem was. You can't. That's what set it up. You just don't. He said it, and that's why people are like, "You got to do it." And he didn't do it. You know. And I'm the biggest Bron. I'm the biggest Bron fan. I'm from Cleveland. I'm the biggest Bron fan ever.
So, no, that's true. No, that's true. That's 100%. Can't say nothing about that.
Real quick before we get you out of here, Zion's also a Nets fan. Who's winning the NBA championship this year?
I just don't know how you bet against LeBron. I'm not even going to lie to you.
The AD thing,
I just don't
though?
Know how you bet. Yes. And if that AD thing happens and LeBron and them get second in the West, LeBron's MVP in my book. Mm-hmm. And if not, Brooklyn's going to get there and Harden's MVP. It was funny. Like, I love hate, right? I was built for hate. You know, I'm from Detroit. I wouldn't have made it if everybody didn't hate us and if there wasn't people entitled that we overcame. So I live for him. And so when I look at like how Harden was there, I knew that people that like hate play with the hate in their mind. And say, let me see how I'm gonna play with this. Harden is going from shooting the most because his coach wanted him to do that, but people just say he wanted to do that. But they don't remember he led the league in OKC in fourth quarter assists. They don't remember that. This is when Durant was MVP. They don't remember this. So it's just how you look at him, what you think of him. So now he's going there, leading the league in assists, playing for somebody like Nash that people don't respect how cold Nash was, but that's a whole other story. So he's playing there, Wigan changed his game, and all he does is facilitate. And now people hate on him because he don't shoot enough. Lesson of the story, people, you will always be hated on, especially if you're doing your thing. And so I got Brooklyn. I got Brooklyn. I want to say them, but truthfully, LeBron's done so much. I'm not going out on that limb yet. If there's no AD, Brooklyn, they're right there.
There we go. C-Web, we appreciate you. Thank you. Everything you do, you're doing a lot of really, you know, really good stuff out here. So
thanks for coming through, Chris.
Thank you, guys.
Have a good weekend, man. Stay safe.
Go do.
So what do y'all think? Everybody let Adam know that he's an asshole for asking.
Listen, Adam, people don't come to your job and tell you, oh, yeah, that's a pretty tough article you wrote.
Have you seen my Twitter mentions?
Other professionals. You don't get a Chris Webber coming at you. So why are you getting out of line here telling him he's a tough listen?
It was a question I thought that
you tried to sneak the tough listen through, and he tried to sneak it in there.
He saw right through it. It's a narrative on Twitter, and that's why I brought it up.
You're like the person who's the least on Twitter in this group. You're talking about Twitter narratives. You're never on Twitter.
Well, I see comments when I'm watching the broadcast on TV.
Do you only search Chris Webber's hashtag?
That's incorrect. That's a false
narrative. And then you said you listened to music during the games, and he called you a chick.
That was a good comeback, though. I have to give him credit.
He called you a chick.
That was a good comeback in his part.
You turned down the broadcast and listened to music.
That was a good. That was a good line in his part.
So awkward. So awkward. Don tried to bait him and tried to get him to say that the Fab Five would beat Duke's son.
That was egregious, pal. Egregious.
It's accurate. I wasn't doing anything. I wasn't fishing for it. It's accurate. They would beat them. And Zion dropping 40 on his head.
You're sounding dumber and dumber by the sentence, but keep going.
Zion Williamson, most unguardable college basketball
player. Trey Jones is the point guard of that team?
Yes. ACC player of the year last year and ACC defensive player of the year last year.
But the Duke teams in the early 90s would cook that Duke team of Zion Williamson and RJ Barrett and Trey Jones and all those other guys.
Oh, bro.
Grant Hill and Bobby Hurley wouldn't
have cooked that. That was the most talented Duke team to ever put together. And they really only lost like one or two games because there was a lot of the losses came with them missing people. So
how many actual games did they miss? How many actual games did they miss? Did they lose?
What do you mean?
Did they lose? How many actual games did that team lose? Do you know?
I think they lost four or five.
Did they lose the game when Zion, his shoe blew up on TV?
Yeah, they got blown out.
That was the UNC game, right?
The UN and Obama was there, and he. Okay, I remember. Okay.
Listen, that year was magical, man.
Obama, I mean, I will say that's the most fun. That's the most interesting in college basketball I've probably ever been. I'll give you credit on that.
LeBron came to a game. Jay-Z came to a game. Like, that was magical year college basketball.
I'll give you credit that the sport, like your take that the sport may have peaked with that team in that year, could be accurate.
I wouldn't say it peaked, but I think it brought a lot of people back to it.
I think they've long left.
but with this new G League team, I just feel like you're never going to have.
That's fair. That's fair.
You're never going to have like the peak.
Yeah.
Like,
it's going to be different going forward if this continues. Yeah, 100% right.
Yeah. Like, so it's going to be different. But yeah. Ooh, we already got a good one set up for next week, guys, because we already recorded the interview. I don't even want to say anything, though.
So we record and say it. It's in
should
the bank.
Should we tease it?
Yeah.
Diane, what do you think?
There's no chance it's going to cancel. It's already in the bank.
Okay. My former coworker, I can't call him a coworker. Two Chainz. Two Chainz on the pod next week. I'm very excited about that. So it's a very fun interview.
He cooked you a few times too.
The one thing was kind of mean. The one part was like kind of mean. But no, we had a lot of fun. And I think he really, he's great. So
he was fun.
Look out for that. Let us know if Adam crossed the line with Chris Webber. I say yes. So.
Always crossing the line.
A habitual line stepper, Adam Caporal.
No.
We appreciate everybody listening. Leave those 5-star reviews. Drop in guests you want to hear from us on the podcast. Download anywhere you get your podcast, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Follow us on Twitter at @PChef_@AdamCaporal, at Zion Olajide, or at Duke NBA. Follow Zion's Duke as they make the run for the NCAA tournament. One of my favorite accounts. One of my favorite
accounts. I do not follow that account, nor will I ever follow that account.
Mind your business.
On that note, we love y'all. Have a good one. Until next time, we'll see you guys later. And as always, a special thanks to our producers, Josh Dodd and Jasmine Plata, our audio editor, Misha Jones, our production manager, Sean Sel Correa, our talent booker, Shanice Kelman, our senior director of operations, Jen Stewart, our general manager, Donnie Kwok. This is a production of Complex Networks.